Hello everyone, and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at a number of topical developments from the past few days with a leadership and management theme. I am Rod Jones, content manager at the Institute, and in this podcast we will be looking at news up to the 20th of April 2020. Joining me to analyse these stories is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute. Hello Kate.
Hello Rod.
Well, our first story, Kate, starts with the Conversations Inside story of how Mercedes F1 and academics fast-tracked a life-saving breathing aid. With the coronavirus pandemic spreading to nearly every country in the world, a team of engineers from University College London and Formula One engine maker Mercedes AMG HPP have been working flat out to manufacture large numbers of a continuous positive airway pressure device to free up ventilators for the most critically ill. The designs and manufacturing instructions have now been released at no cost to governments, manufacturers, academics and health experts around the world. Within a week, they had been shared with more than 1,300 teams in 25 countries. The astonishing pace of this project has been made possible by an alignment of established academic, industrial and clinical collaborations working under the umbrella of UCL's Institute of Healthcare Engineering. The team was quickly mobilised to focus on a clearly defined immediate need. Kate, what does this story tell us about leading successful collaboration and innovation?
Well, it's no coincidence, is it, Rod, that collaboration is one of our five dimensions of leadership. And what this really brings into sharp focus is if you are working for a higher purpose, where the overall goal transcends individual interests, people are so much more successful. And you can see with collaborations like this, Manchester Metropolitan University fashion department in no time came out with a template for a very swift design of clinical robes. It's just fantastic to witness from the outside and to know what can be done. We're hearing a lot about necessity fueling innovation, and people will do things if they have to do them, and goodness, isn't that so? What I really hope from this is that ability to work collaboratively, to see that there's always a bigger picture, it's not about immediate gain for individual partners, will mean that future collaborations will continue in this way.
Thank you, Kate. It's also interesting that an organisation near me that makes fashion wear is now making PPE for the National Health Service. So the innovation that is coming up at this time is fascinating.
Well, it's really bringing home the idea that innovation isn't having this amazing new, never thought of before idea. It's using ideas from one place and applying them in another, doing things differently. That's innovation as well.
Okay, thank you, Kate. Our next story from CNBC reports that CEO Activision Blizzard Bobby Kotick said that he has given out his phone number to the company's roughly 10,000 employees around the world. Kotick told CNBC's Becky Quick on Squawk Box that about a month ago we sent out an email from my email address with my phone number, and we encouraged every single employee that has a concern that relates to their healthcare to just contact me directly. Kotick said a few hundred employees have reached out to him since that email, but we're fortunate. Very few actually tested positive so far for COVID-19. Kotick, who has been CEO since 1991, said that the Santa Monica, California-based company has taken additional steps to fortify healthcare options for employees during the pandemic. In countries where there are national healthcare programs, we also have private doctors helping to assist and navigate through what can be a very complex process getting into national healthcare. Activision Blizzard also partnered with organizations for additional mental health care and for licensed childcare, said Kotick, noting the company has made investments to support research on treatments for COVID-19. Kate, what does this story tell us about leading with values?
The CEO is sending out such a strong message about employees first, before profit, before cost saving. And in the longer term, that's going to be remembered. That important relationship building is what, when people are able to go back to work, will inspire great loyalty. It also makes business sense, but actually It seems to me that the motivation for this actually came out of a genuine regard for the people who work in this organisation. And what we have been finding, and we've been talking about it, haven't we, at the Institute, that people are so much more likely to pick up the phone and talk because they want that connection. And having a personal email from your CEO saying, call me if you need me, well, that is absolutely living the values of the company and must be a really nice place to work.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Kate. Our next story asked, will COVID-19 linked CEO wage cuts spark reassessment of bosses' pay? A quarter of the UK's biggest firms have cut their CEO salaries in response to the COVID-19 crisis, according to research from the High Pay Centre. In an analysis of FTSE 100 company announcements issued since the pandemic, the campaign group found that most of the bosses who had taken pay cuts had opted for reductions of 20%, the same proportion that furloughed staff are giving up. However, one top boss, who the High Pay Centre singled out as showing a particularly powerful example, is Rentokil Chief Executive Andy Ransom, who has cut his salary by 35% and donated the rest to a special employee fund. Summing up the findings for the FTSE 100, High Pay Centre Director Luke Hildyard said, our figures show that some companies are taking meaningful action in this respect by cancelling bonuses and incentive plans or making donations to employee funds or the NHS. Too many, however, are making token gestures or doing nothing at all. Kate, will firms' pay-related COVID-19 responses lead to a broader and lasting reassessment of CEO pay?
What COVID-19 has certainly done is put reward under the spotlight. Are we rewarding people for the contribution they make, not just to the bottom line, not just to profit-making companies, but to society, to the nation's well-being? And those people are risking their lives on a daily basis to keep the rest of us safe and not being rewarded anywhere near the level that some people who are not taking those risks are being rewarded. So any CEO that comes out and recognises that there might be an unfairness in how people are being rewarded, it's got to be applauded. And I think that reassessment, that spotlight on which jobs really matter, we're not going to forget about that in a hurry. And again, I think there will be calls for more transparency about CEO pay. We were beginning to hear those, weren't we, last year? And I think that the clamour for more detail, especially around the ratio between the lowest paid and the highest paid, and how do certain individuals justify how much more they are paid and what their contribution is. As usual, there's never going to be one answer to this, but there are going to be a lot more difficult questions asked and a lot more interesting conversations.
Thank you, Kate. Our next story from CNBC reports that Auticon, a global IT consulting firm, is claiming that it is being helped to survive coronavirus because 200 of its 300 employees are autistic. The company has found that autistic workers communicate better in remote work settings and often excel at business intelligence, quality assurance, test automation, and complex software development projects. David Aspinall, CEO of Auticon US and a member of the Young President's Organization, writes, having a team capable of working from home is very powerful. Companies that decide, after the coronavirus ends, to rely more on telecommuting in the future need to have a workforce that's capable of working remotely. Hiring more people with autism could be the answer. Not only does it bring more diverse ways of thinking to a team, but it's also an ideal way to make sure that you're staffed up with people who naturally excel at remote work. Kate, would you agree that hiring more autistic employees could be the answer to the tech skills shortage while simultaneously diversifying a company's workforce?
I have to welcome any initiatives that are intended to be more inclusive. I'm a bit concerned at the labelling of sort of autistic people having special skills as though all of the people in that group are only able to contribute in the way that's been described. And of course, they are diverse as the rest of us with different strengths, different capabilities, and wanting to contribute to organisations in different ways. But the great thing about this is that once you have recognised the power of inclusivity, once you've recognised how broadening your talent pool is just makes business sense, never mind any moral concerns, then you don't go back. So any new group, underrepresented group that's welcome into the workforce has a positive impact for other underrepresented groups. So this sort of initiative absolutely to be welcomed. And with many things that are going to emerge over the next few weeks, unforeseen results of what has been a crisis is going to manifest itself as positive for some people in ways we can't even begin to predict.
Thank you, Kate, and that concludes this week's episode. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these very diverse stories.
Thank you, Rod.